This is Spreaker Web Radio.
Welcome to AquarianRadio.com.
AquarianRadio.com.
Aloha, this is Enki. You know me as Aquarius, and this is our age, the Satayuga. Time to celebrate with us. We have programs on all chakra tantra, love styles and relationship choices, counseling strategies and techniques that you can use at home. We have extraterrestrial radio, where we deal with alienology, paranormal people, and we have an experiencers network. We have a section called Ancient Aliens, and the programs therein are Enki Speaks, Nimma, the Mother of Humanity, has her program, and we revise ancient anthropology. And most important of all, we have peace paradigms, because this is the age of peace. Harmony and understanding, sympathy and trust abounding, no more falsehoods or derisions, golden living dreams of visions, mystic crystal revelations, and the mind's truth liberation.
This is Enki.
It is I who 300,000 years ago created your race, and 200,000 years ago, it was a lot of fun, made it even better with some of the pretty girls. And it is I who saved you from the flood, and it is I and my beloved Nimma and my son Ningxia Thoth who are here to help you overcome my runaway son Marduk or Allah, my brother Enlil or Yahweh. And free yourself from all the supposed gods and recognize your own great potential. You have much to teach us. And we, Anunnaki, those of us from Nibiru, welcome full partnership.
And here are your hosts, Janet and Dr. Sasha Lesson.
Aloha. Welcome to Aquarian Radio at AquarianRadio.com. Today's show is Enki Speaks. We are on Aquarian Radio. This is episode 32. Marduk ruled Sumer in 2023 BC. He ruled Sumer from Babylon. He degraded women, and he degraded learning. We are going to feature special readings from Zechariah Sitchin's When Time Began. And I am your host, Janet Kira Lesson. Today is Thursday, March 7th, 2013. Dr. Lesson and I are broadcasting live from Maui, Hawaii. And my co-host is, of course, the wonderful Dr. Sasha Lesson. So go ahead, Sasha, take it away.
Aloha. I'd like to just sort of orient everybody to this series we're now on. Lesson 32. Our teacher, Zechariah Sitchin, translated clay tablets, the bases of statues, and stuff that was written on monuments that scribes had inscribed in ancient Sumer. Little wedge-shaped kind of writing. Ancient Sumer was where Iraq now is. The inscriptions that Zechariah translated said how extraterrestrial people, who were called gods, that's what the Sumerians called them, created and conditioned us. These clay tablets show the Sumerians' version of our solar system's history for the last 4.5 billion years. 300,000 years ago, the tablets say, the ETs added their genes onto Homo erectuses to create us earthling slaves. 13,000 years ago, as the ETs' planet, Nibiru, came close to Earth, the Antarctic ice sheet slid into the South Sea and caused the deluge, the Great Flood. Well, the ETs let most of their hybrid earthlings drown. They knew it was coming and let them drown. The ETs also used nuclear weapons on Sodom, Gomorrah, and two other cities in 2024 BC. And then the cloud from that nuclear attack blew over Sumer and killed most of the earthlings there. So Nibirans with advanced weaponry and with biological pathogens, too,
in their wars, murdered hundreds and thousands of us Earthlings.
The ETs, whom the scribes called the gods, the Bible's Elohim, dictated the tablets and statute tags. Statues show the ETs looked like 7 to 12 feet tall, muscular, basketball player type beings. Some had elongated skulls. Nibirans shaped our societies, bodies, thoughts, and consciousness. They scripted us to obey males ranked in hierarchy, to disdain underlings and perpetuate violence.
445,000 years ago, Ea, his other names are Ptah, P-T-A-H, Buzer, Hephaestus, Vulcan, and Adonai. So,
incited the African miners to strike, then pressed Enlil, his brother, who was also known as Yahweh, and he was the expedition chief, to pardon the strikers. Enki would, he said, breed short-term mining slaves to replace the striking Nibirans. To make the slaves, Enki added his genes, his sister Nima's mitochondrial gene, DNA and genes.
Mitochondrial.
DNA and genes of Homo erectus. Enki thought the creator of all designed erectus to evolve into Homo sapiens. Ningishida, Enki's son, Nima, and Enki expedited the creator's design. They made hybrid earthlings who could breed. We were like Nibirans, though they had longer heads and bigger brains. Enki made our men with foreskins that the Nibiran men lack. Many Nibirans had elongated cone-shaped or pumpkin-shaped skulls.
Enki created his hybrids short relative to them. We were under 6 feet tall. They're over between, you know, usually between 7 and 12 feet tall. Enki shortened our lifespans compared to the Nibirans' lifespan. His earliest hybrids, the Adamus, they might last several hundred years. But the Nibirans live millions of years. Sitchin thinks that Earth's orbit, which is smaller than Nibiru's, may also be one of the reasons that the Earthlings had shorter lives. Now, Nibiru, the planet from which these ETs came, revolves around Nemesis. Nemesis is a dark subdwarf star. It's more massive than Jupiter. Now, this subdwarf star, Nemesis, nears our sun at a place called the Kuiper Belt, The Nemesis is 48 astronomical units from Earth, and it comes around every 10,800 Earth years. Nibiru circles Nemesis, but it does not circle our sun. It passes between Jupiter and Mars when it comes through the inner solar system. So one of Nibiru's years, the time it takes Nibiru to circle Nemesis, is 3,600 Earth years. That's long enough for 180 generations of us Homo sapien Earthlings to live and die. Now, you'll remember, if you listen to episode 31, and I'll just remind you of it, in 2024 BC, the ill wind that was the nuclear cloud killed all life in Sumer, but it missed Marduk's Babylon. Babylon is sort of up to the north where modern Baghdad is. The ill wind was loosed when Ninurta, Enlil Yahweh's champion, nuked the Sinai spaceport rather than Marduk take it over. Now, the storm from the fallout from Ninurta's bombs joined the fallout storm from the missiles that Marduk's turncoat brother Nergal fired on Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zebulun, south of the Salt Sea. His missiles turned the Salt Sea to the Dead Sea.
Babylon, Marduk's center, Mesopotamia, however, was north of the storm's reach. Enlil saw as fulfilled when the fallout spared Babylon his vision of Galzu communicating for the creator of all. In that vision, Galzu told Enlil that Marduk would prevail in Sumer over the Enlilites.
For the next 150 years, most of the huge Nibirans on Earth went first to Adad's spaceport at Nazca, that's in the Peruvian highlands, And ADAD was known as Viracocha, incidentally, in South America. So most of them, in the next 150 years after the ill wind, got in rockets at Nazca and went back to Nibiru. Some, however, some of these Nibirans, the ETs, dispersed from Sumer and, accompanied by their followers, went to far lands in the far corners of the earth. Other displaced Sumerians remained nearby, and they rallied their supporters for a renewed challenge to Marduk. And you'll see next lesson that one of the most important of these supporters that got rallied was Abraham. In any case, Marduk's extended family in northern Sumer were called the Aryans. The Aryans invaded the lands to the east and Europe to the west. They conquered earthlings everywhere, and they imposed their Aryan supremacy ideas, which, unfortunately, to this very day, persists.
Marduk proclaimed Babylon capital of Sumer, and in 2000 BC, he declared himself god of the gods. He renamed Nibiru Marduk and held New Year's rituals as he, a planet, invaded the inner solar system, created Earth, then made Earthlings. Marduk named Neptune Nidimund, a name for Enki. He renamed Mercury, which had been Adad, to Nabu, and he changed Venus's name from Inanna to Sarpanet. Nabu was his son's name, and Sarpanet was his wife.
In other words, Marduk is taking credit for everything that all the other Nibirans did, as though he's the only one.
Right.
Well, many Sumerians, then, who survived the fallout, got away from Marduk. Refugees were given asylum all around Mesopotamia. They converted their host countries into flourishing states. They had the technology. Some ventured into more distant lands, accompanying the displaced Nibirans. Indo-Aryans from the southwest of the Caspian Sea mingled with the Sumerian refugees and migrated into the Indus Valley and brought with them tales of Sumer, which, combined with the culture Inanna had given those domains in India, all this evolved into modern Hinduism.
Under Marduk's New Age, gods guided the policies of their countries through signs and omens. For many millennia, Anu, Enlil, and the other Anunnaki leaders made decisions affecting the Anunnaki. Enlil by himself was lord of command as far as mankind was concerned. Now, signs and omens in the heavens guided decisions. Celestial omens, planetary conjunctions, eclipses, lunar halo, stellar backgrounds were sufficient by themselves. No godly intervention or participation was required. The heavens alone foretold the fates. Astrology developed with fortune-teller priests on hand to interpret observations of celestial phenomenon. Astronomical tablets of the Babylonians were computer printouts, ephemerides, copies from pre-existing sources of the zodiacal constellations. All the Babylonians knew was how to use them, translating into Babylonian the Sumerian procedure texts, Hellenistic, Persian, and Indian astrology derived from such records. Deterioration of astronomy was symptomatic of the overall decline of aggression in the sciences, arts, laws, and social framework under Marduk's rule. Medicine deteriorated to sorcery. Harshness and coarseness replaced the former compassion and elegance. There was an overall decline in the role of women and their status as compared to Sumerian times. The decline in women's status was generated from Marduk, who hated women. Why? Well, because Ninhursag, mother of gods and men, was mother of Marduk's main adversary on earth, Ninurta. Inanna caused Marduk to be buried alive inside the Great Pyramid. Goddesses in charge of the arts and sciences assisted the construction of the enemy Inanu, in Lagash, as a symbol of defiance of Marduk's claims that his time had come. Marduk trained priests to study omens and a horoscope showing how planets and their namesakes affect earthlings. He degraded astronomical observations, earthling support, and women's rights. He barred women from high office and art. He substituted Nabu for the Nibiran woman Nisaba as the deity of writing.
Around 1800 BC, Sumerians brought cuneiform writing, bronze weapons, chariots, and walled cities to China, to the Shang Dynasty. This is like 1800 BC. Sumerian immigrants gave Central and Far Asia the languages known as the Sino-Tibetan languages, and they gave them the cultures and the Sumerian calendar of 12 months.
Aloha, we are back. Just wanted to give you a little information. You are listening to Aquarian Radio at aquarianradio.com. I am your host, Jana Kira Lessen. My co-host is Dr. Sasha Lessen. Today is Thursday, March 7th. Today's episode of Inky Speaks is Marduk World Sumer in 2023 BC. The website for Inky Speaks is inkyspeaks.com. And now, Dr. Lessen will resume reading from the book called When Time Began.
Okay.
By Zachariah Sitchin.
When Time Began by Zachariah Sitchin. And we're looking at the age of the ram. That's Marduk. Remember, Babylon on the northern edge of the excuse me, my earphones fell off. Okay, let's start that sentence again. Babylon on the northern edge of the evil wind swath was the least effective of all the Mesopotamian cities when it blew across. Marduk urged the people of Babylon to leave and go north right away. He told them as they escaped, "Neither turn back nor look back. If escape's impossible, get thee into a chamber below the earth." Once the evil storm had passed, they were not to consume any food or beverage in the city, of course, because it was radioactive. When the air finally cleared, all of southern Mesopotamia lay prostrate. Life began to stir anew only 7 years later, backed by Elamite and Gutium troops loyal to Sumer, organized society returned to Sumer. So they're making a comeback now under rulers in the former provincial centers, Isin and Larsa. After 70 years, the temple of Nippur was restored. Anu and Enlil saw no purpose in resurrecting the past and building everything up again because they knew they were getting off the planet.
Marduk had won. His vision of a king in Babylon who would grasp his hand, rebuild the city, raise high its ziggurat, Ezekiel, had come true. Babylon attained the power and assurance expressed by Hammurabi. Anu and Enlil determined for Marduk, the firstborn of Enki, the Enlil functions over all mankind. And established for Marduk an everlasting kingship. In Egypt, unaffected by the nuclear cloud, the transition to the age of the ram began right after the Theban victory and the enthronement of the Middle Kingdom dynasties. In Mesopotamia, ascendancy of the age of the ram was recognized by changes in the calendar and in the list of the celestial stars. Such lists that used to begin with Taurus, now began with Aries. The zodiac of Aries, rather than Taurus, was thereafter written in. The star Ilku the defining celestial body for the first month of Ninsamu, Ilku was the lead star of the constellation of the Ram. The New Age was to dominate the next two millennia, and the astronomy that the Chaldeans had transmitted to the Greeks. In the closing years of the 4th century BC, Alexander came to believe that he was entitled to immortality because his true father was the Egyptian god Amon. You want me to finish this, sir? Mm-hmm. He went to the god's oracle place in Egypt's western desert to seek confirmation. Having received it, he struck silver coins bearing his image adorned with the horns of the ram. A few centuries later, the ram was replaced by the fishes, Pisces.
To establish supremacy on earth, Marduk proceeded to establish his supremacy in the heavens. New Year's celebration was the epic of creation that he made read publicly. Its aim was to acquaint the populace with the cosmology, the tale of evolution, and the arrival of the Anunnaki in a way that is the religion. Epic, in which the name Marduk was substituted for Nibiru. Thus, Marduk, as a celestial god, appeared from outer space, battled Tiamat, created the hammered, giving Earth its orbital position. Was seen as the home planet of the abode of Anu, King Anu. But Marduk relegated Anu to a lesser planet, Uranus. Marduk's father, Enki, he is originally associated with the moon, now Marduk gave him Neptune far out. A celestial counterpart was needed for Marduk's son, Nabu. Well, he chose Mercury. Mercury had been a celestial association. Enki's numerical rank was 40. Turn the page.
Okay, turning the page. Marduk's seizure of the supremacy in the heavens was accompanied by a parallel religious change on earth. The other gods, the Anunnaki leaders, even his direct adversaries, were declared subordinate to Marduk, asserting that their attributes and powers were transferred to Marduk. No longer residing in Egypt, Marduk-Ra became Amun, the Unseen One. Marduk invited the other leading deities to reside in Babylon in special shrines that were built for each one of them within the precinct. After Marduk's own temple abode was completed and shrines for the other Anunnaki were erected, Marduk invited all of them to a banquet. According to this Babylonian version, the other gods took their seats in front of the lofty dais in which Marduk had seated himself. Enlil raised his weapon and laid it before the gods. Recognize. Oh, do you want me to skip that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, over here. Sorry. Proclaiming his 50 names, granting Marduk the rank of 50 that had been Enlil's and Ninurta's, Marduk became the god of gods, but the god to whom the other gods had to pay obeisance. Babylon's new religion stressed the lineage Enki Marduk Nabu, as the divinity of the son was attained from a holy father. It's over to you.
I don't know if this is working anymore. Oh, here we go. The new age that Marduk and Babylon ushered in around 2000 BC manifests itself as a new religion, a polytheism in which one god dominated all others. The previous plurality of divine powers that before Marduk guided by the policies entrances of planets into the zodiacal constellations were thought of as particularly important as signs of the enhancement of the planet's good or bad influence. What used to be astronomy became astrology, and this was followed by divination, fortune-telling, and then sorcery. Now, the cause of the breakdown of the gods, priests, kings framework that held societies together in the prior millennia was that the olden gods were gone from their cult centers in Sumer. And now the people were looking for omens to guide them. Astronomical tablets of the Babylonians were just column upon column of rows and rows of numbers. They were computer printouts. So instead of people being discerning about different gods are saying different things and there's good and evil, all you've got to do is look at the computer programs. These Babylonian tablets were copies from pre-existing sources. They were already neatly arranged, and the mathematics on which the number series was based was the Sumerian sexagesimal system. Zodiacal constellations, month names, and 50 astronomical terms, all in that calendar of Babylon, were purely Sumerian. All the Babylonians knew was how to use them by translating Babylonian from the Sumerian procedure texts. But everyone was encouraged not to think for themselves anymore. Hellenistic, Persian, and Indian astronomy and astrology derive from these computer records.
Deterioration in astronomy was symptomatic of an overall decline and regression in the sciences, arts, laws, and social framework. Sexagesimal system.
By 60s.
Yeah, 60s. Mathematical theories were retained without improvement, and medicine deteriorated to become sorcery. The Babylonians, as did the Assyrians, retained until the Greek era the cuneiform script that the Sumerians had devised based on geometric and mathematical theories. The old Babylonian tablets were written in a more scribbled and less refined script. Remains of Babylonian-produced inscriptions by rulers boasted of military campaigns and conquests. Prisoners were taken or heads were cut off, whereas Sumerian kings boasted of building temples, digging canals, having beautiful works of art made. Harshness and coarseness replaced compassion and elegance. The Code of Hammurabi was just a listing of crimes and their punishments, whereas 1,000 years earlier, Sumerian kings had promulgated codes of social justice, their laws protecting the widow, the orphan, and the weak. Sumerian laws intended to direct human conduct rather than punish. Missing in the New Age were expressions of tender love, a mindset that went all the way down from the top, from Marduk himself. The poetry of Sumer included a substantial number of love and lovemaking poems. This omission in Babylonia was part of an overall decline in the role of women and their status as compared to Sumerian times. In Sumer and Akkad, women engaged in, this is before Marduk's triumph, in household chores like spinning, weaving, milking, tending to the family and the home, but also working professional. Especially, women managed family lands, overseeing the cultivation, supervising trade and resulting products, which was especially true of the ruling families of the royal court, royal wives, administered temples and vast estates, and royal daughters served as priestesses, and even as high as a high priestess. Throughout Sumerian history, women held high positions in the temples and priestly hierarchies. There is no record of a comparable situation in Babylon. Civic functions. Ninurta. Inanna Ishtar was the one who had conflict between firstborn Ishmael.
For the first time, there appears in Mesopotamian inscriptions Munatutu. Means fugitives from destruction, displaced persons, detribalized people who lost not only their homes, possessions, and livelihoods, but they were stateless refugees seeking religious asylum and personal safety in other people. Frustrate. of its people, of Sumer. Came to a bitter end, but the migrations of people away from Sumer took them to first Haran, where Mesopotamian links up with Mesopotamia. They who had fled Sumer there and gone to the Hittite area. And the same thing with Isaac's son Jacob, we'll see next lesson. Their wanderings followed the of the merchants of Ur. Cultures sprouted one after another in foreign lands, cultures whose script was the cuneiform, and their languages included Sumerian loan words. Their gods were called by local names, but they were the Sumerian. Imported into Mesopotamia, they provided the rulers that made up the first dynasty of Marduk's Babylonians. So now he's got his people coming into Sumer. They brought the emergence of Assyria to Babylon's north, the Hittite kingdom to the northwest, the Hurani Mitanni to the west, and Indo-European, Indo-Aryan in kingdoms. From the Caucasus on Babylon's northeast and east, and the desert peoples to the south, the sealand people to the southeast. The greater gods of Sumer didn't take Marduk up on his invitation to come and live with them within Babylon's sacred precincts. Instead, they ran off and became national gods of these new nation-states. Sumerian refugees were given asylum all around Mesopotamia. They served as catalysts for the conversion of their host countries into flourishing states. They ventured into ever more distant lands. To the east, the Aryans moved. Southwest of the Caspian Sea, they migrated to the region that Ishtar had created in the Indus Valley.
BC, abrupt change occurred in China. Without any gradual development, the land was transformed from primitive villages to one with walled cities whose rulers possessed bronze weapons and chariots and the knowledge of writing. The cause was the arrival of migrants from the west, the same civilizing influences of Sumer. Traced migrations comparable to those which radiated in the west from the Near East, the migrations in the aftermath of the fall of Sumer. The mysteriously abrupt new civilization blossomed in China around 1800 BC. Writing was introduced with kingship by the Shang dynasty. To record omens on animal bones, concerned with inquiries for guidance from enigmatic ancestors, the writing was monosyllabic and the script was pictographic. Chinese characters evolved into a kind of cuneiform, both hallmarks of Sumerian writing. The pictographs were pronounced the same way: An for heaven and God, En for lord or chief, Ki for earth or land. When a Sumerian syllable had more than one meaning, the parallel Chinese pictograph had a similar set. The Sumerian link included Central and Far Asia or Sino-Tibetan languages.
The calendar of 12 months, time counting dividing the day into 12 double hours, the adoption of totally arbitrary device of the zodiac, astronomical observations, all these things that we find in Central and Far East Asia were all given by the Sumerians. Throughout the steppes of Central Asia, from India to China to Japan, religious beliefs spoke of the gods of heaven and earth, a place called Sumeru, where a bond connected heaven and earth. The Japanese emperor is the son of the god Utu or Shamash, who had been with the spaceport at Sinai, in charge there when it was obliterated. He was also in charge of the landing place, but now all that was in Marduk's hands. Utu wandered with his bands of his followers to the far reaches of Asia and founded the emperorship in Japan.
The Sumerian Monabatutu had also gone westward into Europe using two routes, one through the Caucasus and around the Black Sea.
That Monabatutu means displaced persons.
Okay. The other via Anatolia. Sumerian refugees passing through Georgia had an unusual language which shows affinity to Sumerian, advancing along the Volga River, establishing its principal city, whose ancient name was Samara. It's now called Kubichev. And, let's see, reaching the Baltic Sea. This also explains why the unusual Finnish language is similar to Sumerian. Some also attribute such an origin to the Estonian language. The other route that the Sumerian refugees advancing along the Danube River were correlated with the Hungarians, which their language could only have been one source, Sumerian. Okay. Have Sumerians come this way? What we can see is where the Danube meets the Black Sea was once Dacia, now part of Romania. They're at a site called Sarmizegetusa.
In Romania
is this has been described as a Stonehenge, by the Black Sea.
Yeah, so, it's a computer. It's a stone computer. We'll go into that later.
So there, it's a time computer. So is that the end of this? One more thing here. Let's see, where did we start? Beginning of the second millennium BC, a Bronze Age civilization of nomadic shepherds with a superior social organization arrived in that area in Romania that was until then settled by hand tillers. But the time and description fit the Sumerian migrants.
Okay, so we're going to next time, in lesson 33, pick up what happened to Enlil's number one cavalry general, a guy named Abraham from Ur. But let's just see if Janet has any reflection on today's lesson.
Well, you know, it seems that this was a bad thing on one hand that Marduk took over, but it actually created like a great diaspora where people went all over the planet and started to settle until they were kind of...
How much sunlight the melanin in your skin is blocking, how much snow there is, and all kinds of other factors, but it's rather minor. What's happening is that people migrated all over and interacted, and wherever people of different nations come together, they either... But this, there was Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said he told the Nibirans that these guys had gone over to Marduk, and so that all these cities were bombed. But of course, the Enlil was Yahweh was nice enough to Abraham to say, "Well, I'll give you a warning. Get the hell out of here, and take your nephew Lot with you, and then I'm going to have you go to the Negev, and then eventually I want you to conquer Canaan for me. But you got to prove your loyalty first. But that's for next time."
All right, well, that's enough for today. So thank you for joining us on Aquarian Radio at aquarianradio.com. This has been your... You want to say something else?
Oh, do look at the website. I've got all these, all this art that illustrates this story. And there's also a YouTube which gives the same story from the perspective of the Old Testament and from the Quran, and several different versions of the same story.
Yeah, so do look at our websites, AnkiSpeaks.com and AquarianRadio.com. And we are going to be putting on a conference in Vegas. I will be announcing it very soon, the hotel and everything. But it is the second weekend, June 7th, 8th, and 9th of 2013. So do tune in to our websites, and we will be creating a... Oh, yes, and also, please read our book, buy our book, which is called Anunnaki Gods No More, and it is available on AquarianRadio.com and AnkiSpeaks.com. So I think that's it for today. We look forward to being here for you again soon. Aloha and love and blessings from Maui, Hawaii.
Thanks for joining us today on Aquarian Radio. We broadcast daily and are scheduled on AquarianRadio.com. Listen live by calling 646-649-0893, or you can listen live by calling 646-649-0893, or listen to our archives on AquarianRadio.com. Join us again soon, and do tell your friends, the age of Aquarius and the paradigm of peace is now.
Aloha, this is Enki. You know me as Aquarius, and this is our age, the Satayuga. Time to celebrate with us. We have programs on all chakra tantra, love styles, and relationship choices,
counseling strategies and techniques that you can use at home. We have extraterrestrial radio, where we deal with alienology, paranormal people, and we have an experiencers network. We have a section called Ancient Aliens, and the programs therein are Enki Speaks, Nimma, the Mother of Humanity, has her program, and we revise ancient anthropology. And most important of all, we have peace paradigms, because this is the age of peace. Harmony and understanding, sympathy and trust abounding, no more falsehoods or derisions, golden living dreams of visions, mystic crystal revelations, and the mind's true liberation.
And this has been another episode here at AquarianRadio.com.
AquarianRadio.com.